All right, sports fans, how's everybody out there doing? William Martin coming at you one more time with another edition of the 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge Podcast. This podcast on 300poundsofsportsknowledge.com is brought to you by our good friends at D-Line Tax and Books. And although that the tax deadline has come and gone, you can still contact D-Line Tax and Books for all of your tax needs. You can contact D-Line Tax and Books at 908-219-7215, or you can visit them on the web at dlinetaxbooks.com. Now, it is that time of the week, folks. My key games for the upcoming weekend in the world of college football. And I want to start off in the Southeastern Conference, as on Saturday afternoon, you're going to have the number one team in the land. And I'm talking about the Alabama Crimson Tide making the trek to take on the Vanderbilt Commodores. Now, this is the SEC opener for both teams, and you look at the head coaches, Nick Saban for Alabama, and of course, Derek Mason for Vanderbilt. Now, Nick Saban knows a thing or two about big games, while for Derek Mason and his Commodores, that is not the case for them. But you look at this triple-headed monster for Alabama on offense, and I'm talking about quarterback Jalen Hurts and running backs Damian Harris and Bo Scarborough. These guys can simply run the football down your throat, and I expect to see this Alabama offensive line try to lean on the Vanderbilt defensive line. Now, Vanderbilt quarterback Kyle Shurmur is on fire to begin this season. 8 touchdowns to no picks, and more importantly, Vanderbilt has gotten 3 victories under their belt so far. You look at this defense for the Commodores, led by linebacker Emmanuel Smith and Charles Wright, as this team has really been playing a physical brand of football under Mason. I think the fans for Vanderbilt are really going to be charged for this game, and I think that Vandy has the opportunity to keep it close for about 2, maybe 2.5 quarters, but Alabama will eventually flex their muscles. And I'm going to take the Tide on the road in this one by the score of 34-20. Now, out west, you're going to have the 5th-ranked Southern California Trojans making the trip north to Berkeley to take on the California Golden Bears. This is the first road game of the year for the men of Troy, as they're looking to be a little bit more steady. I mean, USC, they had a tough one to begin the year with Western Michigan, and then they had a fight, scrap, and claw last week to get an overtime victory at home against the Texas Longhorns. Sam Darnold, the SC quarterback, has not been as brilliant as he was last year. He's already thrown 6 interceptions in just 3 games, and as defenses that he is facing have figured him out a little bit more, and they're making life tougher for him. But make no mistake about it, that Darnold still can get the football to wide receiver Deontay Burnett, who is one of the best at what he does in the Pac-12. Linebacker Porter Gustin already has 3 sacks for the men of Troy, while defensive back Marvell Tell already has 2 picks. Now, Cal is a surprising 3-0 under first-year head coach Justin Wilcox, and a big reason for that is wide receiver Vic Wharton III, who will need to have a big game against this USC secondary if Cal is going to pull off the upset. And then you look on the defensive side of the football for the Golden Bears, and this is Wilcox's specialty right here. You look at senior linebacker Devontae Towns, who already threw 3 games for Cal, has 32 tackles, 3 sacks, and 2 picks. I think that the Golden Bears will keep it close, but USC will squeak by the score of 34-26. Now, it's a Big 12 opener for the TCU Horned Frogs and the Oklahoma State Cowboys, but this is still a big game for both teams. TCU comes into this game ranked 16th in the nation, while the Cowboys are number 6. And you look at this game, arguably it's probably going to be the first team to get the 40 points will win. You look at this TCU offense under quarterback Kenny Hill. Of course, he began his collegiate career at Texas A&M. It didn't work out, so he simply moved across the state, and there is another life for him for throwing the football in the offense of head coach Gary Patterson. Now, on the flip side, for Mike Gundy and his crew, he has a lot of talent on offense. You look at quarterback Mason Rudolph, running back Justice Hill, and wide receiver James Washington, just to name a few. But Oklahoma State can play some defense as well. Linebacker Justin Phillips already has 2 picks this season. As you know, this defensive line for Oklahoma State, they tend to pin their ears back. Why? Because the Cowboys have gotten out to some big leads, and because of that, they know that teams have to throw the ball, or at least attempt to throw the ball, to play catch up with them. Like I said before, the first team to 40 will win this one, but I think it's going to be Oklahoma State, and I'm going to take them at home in Stillwater by the score of 51-41. Now, in the Big Ten, it's going to be the 8th-ranked Michigan Wolverines traveling to West Lafayette, Indiana, to take on the Purdue Boilermakers. And for Michigan, they should be on upset alert. Why? Because Purdue, under first-year head coach Jeff Brohm, is playing with a lot of spirit and, more importantly, confidence. This is the Big Ten opener for both teams, and I expect Michigan's defense to try to go out there and dictate things for the Maize and Blue. And this Michigan defense is led by sophomore linebacker Devin Bush, who already has 26 tackles and 3.5 sacks this season. But you look at Purdue quarterback David Bloff and running back Tyrio Fuller. They are going to have to dictate the things, and more importantly, they're going to have to move the ball and move the chains consistently against this stingy Michigan defense. I think Purdue is going to give the Wolverines fits, but Michigan has enough to squeak by the score of 26-20. Now, back in the SEC, you're going to have the 17th-ranked Bulldogs of Mississippi State traveling to take on the 11th-ranked Georgia Bulldogs. Now, Mississippi State has to be flying high after their big 30-point victory over the LSU Tigers last Saturday in Starkville. And for Mississippi State head coach Dan Mullen, it's the same old song. This guy just simply goes out there, his teams fly under the radar, and before you know it, Mississippi State tends to be bowl eligible under him. But right now, the Bulldogs are thinking about bigger things as they're looking to win the SEC West. Now, for the Mississippi State offense, you look at quarterback Nick Fitzgerald, who is playing lights out, as he is another dual threat in Mullen's offensive system, while running back Aris Williams is a perfect complement to what Fitzgerald can do. Jeffrey Simmons on that defense for Mississippi State already has 2.5 sacks, and he will look to make life difficult for Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm. But for Georgia head football coach Kirby Smart, he has one of the best running games in the conference, as he can rely on running backs Nick Chubb and Sony Michel, while defensively senior linebacker Lorenzo Carter already has 3 sacks. I think this is going to be one of the better games on Saturday, and I think Georgia has enough to pull away late, and I'm going to take the Dogs at home by the score of 42-28. Now, in the Mountain West Conference, you're going to have the 22nd ranked San Diego State Aztecs making the trek to Fort Collins to take on the Air Force Falcons. And for San Diego State, they have to be flying high after their big victory at home last week against the Stanford Cardinal. You look at this running game for San Diego State, which is led by Rashad Penny, but they can play defense as well, as Noble Hall already has 2.5 sacks, while Ron Smith has 2 picks. And it's going to be important for San Diego State to play disciplined football against this Troy Calhoun triple option attack for Air Force. But you look at Timothy McVeigh, he's probably going to be one of the big impact players for Air Force if they're going to be able to score the victory at home in this one. But I think San Diego State is the more talented team, and thus I'm going to take the Aztecs on the road in this one by the score of 34-20. Now, back in the Big Ten, you're going to have the 4th-ranked Penn State Nittany Lions making the trek to Iowa City to take on the Iowa Hawkeyes. Penn State needs to be on upset alert. This game starts at 7:30 on the East Coast, and for Iowa, there's something about them when they are an unranked team at home on a Saturday night that makes you a little queasy if you are coming in there to face them. Just ask Michigan last year when they went there ranked in the top 5 late in the season, and they lost a heartbreaker, which was the beginning of their demise as far as not getting to the college football playoff. Now, for Penn State and head coach James Franklin, he has one of the most talented teams in the country, led by quarterback Trace McSorley, running back Saquon Barkley, wide receiver Deshaun Hamilton, and tight end Chris Gesicki. Penn State's defense already has 6 picks and 2 shutouts to their credit. And for Iowa head coach Kurt Ferentz, it's just status quo. He just simply goes out there and keeps on chugging along and keeps on doing what he does, as he's been doing it in Iowa City for nearly 2 decades now. Quarterback Nathan Stanley is showing that he is a little bit more than a game manager this year, as he has really done a good job protecting and taking care of the football, as he as he has 10 touchdowns to just one interception. But I look for Iowa to try to slow the game down with running back Akram Wadley, as they're going to try to limit Penn State's possessions. And I think the key to that is running the football, running it effectively, especially on third down situations, to keep those chains moving and, more importantly, keep that Penn State offense on the sideline. Now, linebacker Josie Jewell seems like he's been in Iowa City forever, but he is still an impact player for the Hawkeyes, while you have to look out for Josh Jackson, who already has 2 interceptions this season. I think the atmosphere is going to be electric. I think that the Iowa team is going to feed off of that, but I think Penn State has enough to pull it out late by the score of 30-24. Now, back in the SEC, you're going to have the 20th-ranked Florida Gators traveling to Lexington to take on the Kentucky Wildcats. Now, Florida is riding a wave of momentum after their miraculous victory at home last week in the Swamp versus the Tennessee Volunteers. Quarterback Felipe Franks, maybe he is the guy that helped this Gators offense finally turn the corner. Now, already this Gators secondary has 5 picks, and they want to try to make life tough for this Kentucky offense. But Kentucky can play some defense as well. You look at linebacker Josh Allen, who already has 3 sacks on the year, while Mike Edwards has 2 interceptions. I think the first team to 20 wins this contest, and I think it's going to be Florida, as they're going to win this one by the score of 23-17. And finally, back in the Pac-12, it is a rematch of last year's Pac-12 title game, as you're going to have the 7th-ranked Washington Huskies traveling to Boulder to take on the Colorado Buffaloes. Now, for Washington head coach Chris Peterson, he has a team that is good enough to not only once again win the Pac-12, but also get back to the college football playoff. And you look at some of the weaponry that he has on offense. You look at quarterback Jake Browning, wide receiver Miles Gaskin, and running back Miles Gaskin, and wide receiver Dante Pettis, as they look to make life tough for this Colorado defense. Byron Murphy for this Huskies defense already has 2 interceptions, and he's going to try to put some pressure on Colorado quarterback Steven Montez. But if Colorado is going to get the victory at home, running back Philip Lindsay is going to have a big game, while defensively Leo Jackson and Isaiah Oliver are going to have to find a way to slow down this vaunted Washington offense. If you go back to last year's Pac-12 title game, Colorado started off strong, but then Washington went on that run, and Colorado simply could not find a way to get back into the game. I think this is going to be a tight one throughout, but I think that Washington finds a way to get the victory late. I'm going to take the Huskies on the road in this one by the score of 31-27. So, folks, that is going to do it, as those are my key games for the upcoming weekend in the world of college football. And as always, I want to take this time out to thank you for tuning in to the 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge podcast. Now, 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge.com is an official sponsor of the Brooklyn Cyclones, who are a single A affiliate of the New York Mets. And you can check out all of the fun and excitement next summer at MCU Park in Coney Island, Brooklyn. Now, if you're on Twitter, please feel free to follow me at 300 Pounds of Sports. And like I always say, if you follow me, it will be my pleasure to follow you right back. Also, there is the Facebook page at 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge. You can check it out, and you are more than welcome to like it as well. Also, be sure to check out blogtalkradio.com/300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge this Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. on the West Coast, as I will be recapping the day's action from week 3 in the NFL season. So once again, fine folks, my name is William Martin. Take care and have yourselves a wonderful day.